Well, I heard a story about a rookie missionary, and he was on the field and he had not yet learned the language, and he was late for church. And so he found his way to the little church in the community, and it was packed because he was late. And he had to sit on the front row. It's the only seat he could find. And so he didn't know enough of the language to really follow exactly what was going on, okay? And so what he decided was, my safe bet is just to pick somebody out that seems to really be in the groove here and do everything they do and do it like they do it. And so he picks a guy out on the front row sitting near him. And so when this guy raises his hands, he raises his hands. When he sees that guy clap, he claps. When they stand, he stands. You know, when they do communion, he does it. He watches them and does it just like they do it. And on through the service. And they get right down toward the end. And it appears they're kind of wrapping up. And the pastor starts talking. And everybody's just sitting there listening. And then all of a sudden, the man next to him stands up. Just him. And he didn't realize it, but he'd been so keyed in on this guy. When that guy stood up, he just automatically stood up too. And there was a gasp in the congregation. And he thought, oh no, what's going on? Me and this guy are the only ones standing up. And so after the service, the pastor comes up and speaks to him in English and says, you don't really know the language very well, do you? And he said, well, no, I really don't. He said, yeah, I could have guessed. He said, that last little part where you and the other guy stood up, we were congratulating the Acosta family on their new addition. And we were wanting the new dad to stand up. Sometimes imitating the person next to you can get you in trouble, huh? But here's the truth that I want to share with you today. True followers of Jesus attempt to do what Jesus would do. Amen. True followers of Jesus attempt to do what Jesus would do. The apostles, I want to read some of their words concerning this concept of, we'll just call it imitating Jesus. Ephesians 5, 1 and 2, Paul says this to the church at Ephesus. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us as an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. He also says in 1 Corinthians 11, 1, and it's not up there, but he says, be imitators of me even as I am an imitator of Christ. Or imitate me as I imitate Christ. That's Paul's words to the church at Corinth. And then there's the Apostle John, the one who leaned against Jesus and had that close relationship with him. John says in his first epistle, he says, whoever says he abides in him, meaning Jesus, ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. To answer the question, am I a follower or a fan of Christ? We have to be willing to examine our lives by his example. And I know it's a worn out phrase, and maybe you think it's a worn out concept, but WWJD is worn out because it's such simple and direct and powerful truth. What would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? Mahatma Gandhi, the famous nonviolent resistor in India who helped them win their independence from Great Britain. This is not a direct quote. I wasn't willing to pour through all the stuff about Mahatma Gandhi, but I remember a quote. It's a paraphrase, but he basically said this. I am terribly impressed with Jesus Christ, and I might be tempted to be his follower if it were not for his followers. In other words, he could not see the connection between people that called themselves Christians and the Christ that he read about in the New Testament. Here's the question that I am asking myself right now, and I'm asking you to ask yourself, and ask the Holy Spirit this: do people get a taste of Jesus when they're around me? Do they get a taste of Jesus when they're around me? Which, you know, roughly equals how we respond to people, circumstances, and opportunities. And sometimes it's kind of hard to know how Jesus would respond, isn't it? I mean, it really is. I mean, and I'm going to talk about this more in a minute, but how would Jesus respond to the political and social crisis we're in right now? How would he respond? Well, he was God. Well, yeah. And we're supposed to imitate him, not trying to be God. But there's something there that we're commanded to wrestle with. But it's not always easy to know exactly how he would respond in a specific circumstance in my life or in our times. It's not always easy to sort that through. And that's one reason that I've challenged every one of you this month to read a chapter in Matthew every day and just ask the Holy Spirit two questions. What can I learn about Jesus in this chapter, and what should I do about it? That's one reason I've asked you to do that, because here's what I realize. If I don't study Jesus, I really will not have a good sense of what he would do in any given circumstance. Some of the things are obvious, I get that. Let me just throw one at you. And it ain't in my notes, but it just came to me. What do you do when you drive up to the on-ramp of a freeway, or you drive up to an intersection and there's a guy there with a sign that says, "We'll work for food"? Hungry, homeless. What do you do? Because the reality is, they may really be hungry, and they may really be homeless, and they may really be helpless, and it is an opportunity perhaps to show Jesus by doing what Jesus would do. But on the other hand, we all have heard the stories, and I have met the people, and I've done that a number of times, but I've met the people who, you know, they got a car parked down the street and they're making a good living at begging. That's a reality too. So Jesus would be a good steward of his resources, right? Or Jesus would just be compassionate and say, "God knows, and I'm going to give them some money." Or should you take them down to McDonald's and buy them some food and sit and eat with them and find out who they really are? And what? There are several options here, but that's a simple little matter. It gets more thorny than that sometimes, doesn't it? Here's the one thing we need to realize. Jesus was a responder, not a reactor. Jesus was a responder, not a reactor. What do you mean, Pastor? I mean that Jesus, when he responded to a circumstance, to people, or to an opportunity or a crisis, he responded thoughtfully and from his inner value system. He responded out of deep love. He responded out of the commitment to truth. He responded with courage. And he didn't react out of fear or pride or selfishness. And the only time he responded with anger was when it was justified and it was motivated and rooted in a zeal for righteousness and a desire to glorify God and benefit other people. Amen? Jesus got angry. Anybody, you remember a few instances where he got angry? I can. But you see, that wasn't even a reaction. It was a response. I firmly believe when he cleared the temple with a whip, he knew the day before he was going to do it. It wasn't some knee-jerk emotional thing with him. It was rooted in a deep commitment to his Father's glory. Amen. And they were bringing reproach on the very name and character of God by what they were doing in the temple. And notice, he didn't whip any person, but he did upset their apple cart. Amen. And apples went everywhere. I promise you, the next day, they were right back in business. So Jesus was a responder, not a reactor. If he responded in anger, it was not rooted in selfishness or pride or fear. So here's a question for all of us, really two questions. Why did Jesus respond to circumstances, any one of them? Any one of them you've read in Matthew, hopefully in the last 2 weeks. Why did Jesus respond to any of those situations and people like he did? I'm not talking about the general thing, because he loves, because he's powerful, but no, I mean specifically in that circumstance. Because I'm going to tell you something. When it comes down to us responding to our current circumstances like Jesus, we better try with the help of the Holy Spirit to get an idea why he reacted like he did in these various circumstances we watch him go through in the chapters of Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. And then go on and see how the apostles reacted, right? Because what we're doing is we're studying him. We're studying his responses. Because if we really want to respond like Jesus in this day, we better try with the help of the Spirit to answer the question, why did Jesus respond like he did? And what connection is there between that circumstance and my circumstance? So will the Holy Spirit just show me all that? I don't have to study it. Study to show yourself approved. A workman who need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, words of Paul. Let me tell you something. The work of the Holy Spirit is not an excuse for carelessness. The empowerment of the Holy Spirit is not a substitute for study and the focusing of our heart and mind on the Scriptures. The Holy Spirit wants to take the word that we study and make it understandable and help us apply it to our everyday life. That's the goal. Because remember, if we would call ourselves a follower and not just a fan, somebody cheers Jesus on, but if we're going to be a follower, we have to take seriously his example and desire and attempt to respond with the help of the Holy Spirit, respond to our daily opportunities, circumstances, challenges, and the people we encounter the way he would. That's the first question. How would he respond in my situation? Second question is this. Why do I respond the way I do in other similar situations like I'm facing right now? Why do I respond in fear? Why do I respond with anger? Why do I respond with withdrawing? Why do I respond with shutting down in certain circumstances? Why do I respond to certain people the way I respond? And when I come away from that encounter, I look in the mirror and I go, oh, that's not the way Jesus would do it. Why do I do it that way? Because there is a root of our reactions. And the Holy Spirit doesn't just want to convict us of the way we reacted to someone or something. He wants us to understand why, and he wants to heal that. He wants to heal the reason we tend toward angry responses, or the reason we tend toward fearful responses, or the reason we tend toward pride or independence or withdrawal or whatever it is, the way we respond. He wants us to see what the root of the reaction is so that he can change us and empower us to begin responding more like he would in any given situation. It becomes strategically important, especially when we're under duress, when we're under pressure, it becomes more and more important that we have prayed about and studied the answer to those two questions. Why did Jesus respond like he did, and why do I tend to respond like I do? President Calvin Coolidge, none of us were alive then. Still, it's a good story. He invited some people from his hometown to a state dinner in the White House. These were simple people just like me and you. They'd never been to a state dinner. They didn't know how to act. And they knew they didn't know how to act. That's a good thing, right? And so they kind of took the same approach as the rookie missionary did. They decided, we'll just do whatever the president does, and if we do like he does, we'll be okay. So all through dinner, they're using the same fork he uses. They're doing this. And at the end of the meal, he gets coffee and he pours it into the saucer for the coffee cup. He adds a little milk and a little sugar to it, so they all do it. They pour their coffee in their saucer. I mean, I can just see this, 10, 20 people around the table. Everybody's doing it just like he is. And then, after he gets it all fixed, he sits it in the floor and calls the cat. And they're like, "Ah, oh, this is an issue where we need to know why. We need to know why. We need to know why Jesus responds the way he does. And we need to know why we tend to respond the way we do. And then we need to know why we should respond like him in any given situation." You say, that sounds like a lot of pressure. Oh, you just want me to be perfect. No, I don't. You're right. It's right. I want me and you to be perfect. I just know we're not. So what do we do with it then? What do we do? Yeah, we're going to pray. Let me just say this. Our current crisis, and I refer primarily to our political and our pandemic crisis all rolled into one, has been a call to the church, I believe, to increase in Christ-like responses. I think it's put us in a place where we better get on our knees and ask the hard questions. And that is, how would Jesus, what would he do in this situation? What would he have me do? Okay? Because the world's watching. They've always been watching, but they're really watching now. It's kind of like taking a pacifier away from a toddler. Anybody remember that experience? How'd that work? You know, when we take a pacifier away from a toddler, we're not really judging them. What we're doing is challenging them to develop another response to their intense need for security. Right? We're challenging them to kind of switch gears and go from to something else. Unfortunately, sometimes what we switch them to doesn't, we have to switch them from that too, and on we go until, you know, they're grown. I believe our situation right now is calling the people of God to dig in and get serious about what would Jesus do? How would he respond? Because if I want to be a true follower, I've got to take his example seriously. It's time to grow in responding like Jesus. So how should we respond to this crisis? How would Jesus respond? Let me just say a couple of things. I don't think Jesus would have stormed the Capitol and bashed the windows out. I just want you to hear me. And if you're watching online, I want you to hear me. I don't believe he would have stormed the Capitol and bashed the windows out and crushed guards or whatever. I understand there's political positions from one side of this building to the other that are just like this. I get it. I just don't believe Jesus would have done that. And yet there were Christian flags flying in the very front wave of that mob that assaulted the Capitol. Listen, I understand. I too believe that our democracy is under fire here. Okay? And you know what that says to me? More than ever in my life, I better be in touch with what Jesus wants me to do. I better take it seriously. because the stakes are getting higher and higher. Right? They're getting high. I don't think Jesus had anything to do with the riots that trashed cities last summer. And I don't think he had anything to do with the storming of the Capitol. And yet, as I said, major news outlets featured the Christian flags flown in that group of people. And even we're asking the question, is this the Christian insurrection? If Jesus would not slander those who opposed him, we must not slander people who oppose us. If we would not assault the Capitol, if he would not assault the Capitol, we must not assault the Capitol. Would Jesus confront deception? Absolutely. At the risk of his own life. Would Jesus proclaim truth at the risk of his own life? He did. And it cost him his life. And that's as far down that trail I'm going today, because I really believe that because the Holy Spirit dwells in you and because you can read, I'm assuming most of you can read, He can guide you and speak to your heart about how you should conduct yourselves in the coming days. And I believe you're going to do that. And I believe you will do that. And there may be somebody on this side of this building this morning that will react differently than somebody on that side of the building. I'm just appealing to you. Root your responses in the Word of God. Root your responses out of a prayer life that is willing to hear what the Spirit would say to you, no matter what that is. Because if you're not willing to do that, you're not a follower of Jesus. You may believe in Jesus, but you're not a follower. Because followers attempt and seek to imitate the one they are following. So, what God really wants for us is to be conformed to the image of His Son. Conformed to the image of His Son in every one of our responses. You say, well, that's easy. You're a preacher. You can stay inside the church. You ain't got to deal with what I got to deal with. I'm just giving you the Word. I'm giving you the Word. Romans 8:28. We all know this verse. We love this verse. But I want you to read all of it. We read it as we started the service today. But maybe you missed this key phrase. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. So far, so good, right? Good news! For whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. It was God's plan from the moment He saved you to cause you to become like Jesus. It was His perfect will that you and I, over the period of our walk and our following Him, that our responses become more and more and more and more Christ-like. It's His will. I mean, that's His plan. Doesn't it? Whom He foreknew. In other words, those He knew were going to be saved, He predestined us to be conformed to the image of His Son. In other words, He's not going to be satisfied with anything less. I'm not saying He's upset with you right now. I'm saying His goal for you and me is to accurately reflect His heart to this day and this culture and this community. That's His perfect will for you and me, is to accurately reflect His heart, His intentions, His truth, His power, His grace, His mercy to this time and people. That's His will for us. This is our moment to make a step forward in being conformed to His image and respond like Him. If you go back in the context to the other scripture I read earlier, to the Ephesian church, where it says, be imitators of God, if you go just a few verses back into chapter 4, here's what it says. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. I know some of you are sitting there thinking, okay, so do we speak sweet little nothings to political entities that are trying to destroy our nation? That's not exactly why I read that. I just want you to understand that imitating God does extend into the way we treat people, even those who have made themselves our enemies. So, Pastor, how do I become a responsible citizen of a free nation and do that to people that are trying to destroy the nation? I'll give you the Sunday school answer. Pray about it. Just pray about it. Get in the Word, look at the way Jesus responded, and ask the Holy Spirit, how does that apply to this? It's an important question. It's an essential question. And basically, I've spent 30 minutes just raising the question. Jesus' way is the only sure way to see America return to sanity. Amen. Jesus' way. And we're living in a time when our light can shine very brightly if we will simply attempt to do what Jesus would do. Here's a couple of things. Simple plan to begin growing toward responding like Jesus. Number one is establish the target. In other words, what are you shooting at in your life? Are you aiming at being like Jesus? Listen, let's be honest. Some of us that's been walking this trail for a while, at various times in our experience with God, we got a little discouraged about ever becoming like Jesus. Am I the only one that's been there? There's been a few times in my life when I thought, I'm not ever gonna reflect Jesus any better than I do right now. I'm just messed up. But here's the deal. It's no shame to fall short of the mark. The Bible says we've all fallen short, and we will all continue to fall short at times. That's not the shame. The shame is trying to switch targets. You hear what I'm saying? The shame is when we excuse ourselves from even trying to respond like Jesus. We don't have that privilege if we're followers, to just simply excuse ourselves from attempting to respond, from asking the question, how would He respond in this situation? And praying the Holy Spirit would show us the answer and study the Scriptures. And then when we feel like He's shown us how we should respond like Jesus, ready, aim, shoot, do it, try to do it. You ever tried to be like Jesus and it kind of blew up in your face? Anybody know what I'm talking about? Maybe it was with that certain person that just rubs you the wrong way, and you're gonna be the Christ-like one in the relationship, and boom, it's like, boy, wish I wouldn't have tried to be like Jesus. It doesn't matter how many times it blows up. Doesn't matter even whether you get it right all the time or whether part of it was like Jesus and part of it was like Gary. It's still the target. You hear what I'm saying? It's still the standard. It's still the goal. It's still where He predestined us to get to, and that is conform to His image. And that means responding more and more like He would respond. The second thing is, not only should we establish the target, we should practice hitting it. What this means to me is making plans and consistent attempts at responding like Jesus. Because I'm going to tell you, we're all incredibly human. Right? We're all incredibly human. And this is something we all have to grow in. This isn't a beat you down sermon. I'm just laying out the truth for you. We all need to grow in this. And I'll say it again. There's no shame in missing the mark. The shame is in changing the target or in not trying anymore to hit the target you know you want to aim at. You say, well, this isn't about works and I can't make me like Jesus. The Holy Spirit's got to do that. That's part of the attempts I'm talking about. Get on your knees, get the word out, and pray. Holy Spirit, three things. Show me what Jesus would do. Help me do it. And here we go. I'm going to give it a try. Simple recipe. Difficult. It's kind of like losing weight, right? You've heard me say this before. It's simple to lose weight. Quit eating more calories than you burn up, right? It's not all that simple. I got an exercise science major over here, Nate. I realize it may not be that simple all the time, but in general, if I'll exercise and eat less, I will tend to lose weight. Eddie Massengill is a good example of this. Man lost almost 100 pounds in the last year simply by eating right and exercising. So a lot of things are simple, but they're not necessarily easy. And this is simple, the process. Holy Spirit, what would Jesus do? Show me, show me, show me. Now tell me how I can do that. Now give me the power to do it. Because everything inside me cries out to do it my way. I believe that's a prayer He'll answer. Regardless of how complicated or how difficult or how costly things might be over the coming days, weeks, months, years, it's time we establish the target. And it's time we aim at it consistently and practice hitting it. I heard a story about one of the most famous cellists in the world, classical music. He was 95 years old. And he still practiced 5 hours a day. Somebody asked him, why? You're 95. You're the greatest. You're recognized as the greatest. You got this thing whipped, basically, they were saying to him. And his response was this. I practice 6 hours a day because I think I'm making progress. Practice will not make us perfect. But it will give the Spirit room to work. It'll give the Spirit room to work. Let me tell you something. What this United States of America needs so badly right now is for followers of Jesus to show Jesus to those who are lost and without hope and disenchanted with so many things. There's a story of a man named Will Houghton. He was a preacher who became the president of Moody Bible Institute back in the 40s. And a skeptic and an agnostic who was in Chicago at the time, which is where it is, he was contemplating suicide. But he decided that if he could find a minister who lived his faith, he would listen to him. So he hired a private detective to watch Houghton. When the investigator's report came back, it revealed that this preacher's life was above reproach. He was for real. The agnostic went to Houghton's church, accepted Christ, and later sent his daughter to Moody Bible Institute. How we live and how we respond to these times does matter to Jesus, and it matters to people watching us. The worship team would come back. I'm done. I just want to say this. It matters to America how the church responds. It matters. And by the way, if you wonder where I stand on some political issues, you're welcome to come talk to me. Don't assume anything. But that ain't what this is about this morning. I'm talking to you about what I believe God put in my heart to say to you. And I'm not trying to proscribe your responses to any political issue. What I'm trying to say to you is, this is the template. When you go to respond, this needs to be the criteria. Or else, you're following something else. You're following a political party, or you're following a political ideology, or you're... I've told you over and over in the last few weeks, I am a Christian that happens to be American, not an American who happens to be a Christian. And my loyalty to the King of the universe is on the top of my decision-making paradigm. And if that's not where you're at, you need to ask the Lord, am I really a follower? As I said a moment ago, and I'm going to say it one more time, it would be really easy for me to look at myself in the mirror today and go, you rascal, you ain't ever going to be much like Jesus. Oh, you can pull it off sometimes, but man, consistently, day after day, decision after decision, person after person, you know, crisis after crisis, opportunity after opportunity. Oh, you're not a very good facsimile. The Holy Spirit wants us to grow. He's not condemning us. He's wooing us. He's not standing around the corner waiting to break your kneecaps with a baseball bat if you stumble. No, he's saying, come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. You know what he's saying? He's saying, get in the yoke with me and just walk with me. Just, if I step this way, you step this way. If I go this way, you go this way. If I say this, you say that. Just follow me. Just conform to my approach. You say, well, how do I know? There's nothing easy about it, but it's simple. Ask the Spirit to remind us to ask the question. So tomorrow you go to work and somebody just gets all up in your grill. First thing you ought to do is, Holy Spirit, how should I respond? What would Jesus do? Then, Holy Spirit, you better empower me. You better empower me. And then take a deep breath and just try to do it. Try to do it. It may just start out with biting your tongue and walking away. I don't know. But I'm just trying to give you a simple example on a very personal level. It just starts with asking the question, what would Jesus do, Holy Spirit? And how do I do what Jesus would do in this situation? Because by the way, I hadn't had much luck at making storms stop with a wave of my hand, and I hadn't raised too many dead people, and I haven't, you know, healed too many people of whatever. I hadn't fed 5,000 people with a Happy Meal. I hadn't done any of that. So should I do to be like you today in this situation? Just ask the question and then ask for power to to do it. And then take a whack at it. Just take a whack at it. I really believe that's all he asks of us. That's all he asks, besides getting in the Word and studying what he does and why he does it. Here's another thing you may want to do, and I've asked myself this question a good bit lately. Why do I usually do the way I do? Why? Because if we'll know the root, we can yield that root to the Spirit, and I believe he'll change us. I just want to talk to the people online for a minute specifically. You may be afraid right now, may be anxious, may be angry. I just want to say to you, if you're not following Jesus, you're following somebody or something. And where that goes, if it's not Jesus, it's going to end up being destruction. I just want to challenge you. Cry out to Jesus today. Quit following your own desires, your own fears, your own genius. Start following the one that created the universe and is Lord over everything. And he loves you. And he wants you to be his follower, his friend, his heir, his joint heir. That's what he wants for you. If that's not where you're at, you've not been a believer, you're not been a follower for sure, he's calling you today. You feel that compelling sense of, I got to make a decision. This message demands a response. Just simply surrender and say, I'm yours. Sin, sadness, mess ups, screw ups, I'm yours. Cleanse me, wash me, come live inside me. Let your Holy Spirit reside in my spirit and begin to direct my steps, shape my life, and fill me with the hope and the beauty and the joy and the peace that can only come from walking hand in hand with you. Pray that kind of prayer, and there's a place to respond online. We ask you to respond so that we can support you in that decision. Or if you have prayer requests, feel free to do that too. Now, if you're here and you hadn't made that decision, you can too. I want you to bow your heads just for a moment. If you're here and you've not really made the decision to follow Jesus with your life, you might have walked down an aisle at some point in your life. You might have even been baptized, but never in your life have you really decided, I'm going to be a Jesus follower. But you realize that's what this is about. And you want to be that, just raise your hand. You've not ever made that kind of decision. You're not sure your sins are forgiven. You're not sure you're on your way to heaven. You're not sure the Spirit of God dwells in your spirit and has made you a born-again person. You don't know, but you want to be. Anybody? Okay. Holy Spirit, I ask you to speak to each of our hearts today. Show us our compelling need and the compelling beauty of following you by giving ourselves to do and respond as you would. You're worth that. You're worth whatever that cost us. You're worth it. I pray you would open our eyes and let us see your amazing beauty and magnificence and splendor and truth and wisdom, grace and mercy and love, like we can't find anywhere else. As the psalmist says, Lord, whom have I in heaven but you? And on earth there is nothing I desire besides you. My heart and my flesh, they may fail, but you are my portion forever. Where can we go, Lord? You have the words of life. I'm going to ask them to sing a song, and then I'm going to come back and lead you in a moment of prayer. I just want you to ask the Holy Spirit to speak to your heart. If you're not convinced or you're not committed to growing in your ability to respond like Jesus, I believe He wants to convince you. I can't, but He can. It's not a coercion thing. It's not a squeeze somebody into a round peg into a square hole or whatever. It's the most great, one of the most gracious things God can do for us is to empower us to imitate Him. If you just want the Holy Spirit, you're willing for Him to show you how He would respond. And you're willing for Him to empower you to respond like He would. And you're willing to study the Scriptures and ask the Holy Spirit to see what He wants you to see about Jesus. I just want you to raise both hands to heaven and say, I'm in. I'm in, Lord. I want to grow in my Christ-like response to people, to crisis, to opportunities, to danger, to sacrifice, to need. I want to grow in my Christ-like responses. I want to grow, Lord. I don't want to keep just reacting from my own insecurities or fears or pride or selfishness or anger. Lord, I want to respond from your heart. And that may look like courage. It may look like sacrifice. It may look like giving. It may look like just closing my mouth. It may look like a number of things. But I want to follow you faithfully. I want people to get a taste of you when they have encountered me. I want you to open my eyes to the Scriptures. I want you to open my eyes to your example. I want you to open my eyes to your commands and your teachings. I want your Holy Spirit to connect the dots so that I can see how your responses in the Scriptures, what they have to do with what I need to be doing in any given circumstance. Lord, I don't excuse myself anymore. Forgive me. Forgive me if I have changed the target to something less than Christ-like responses. Forgive me if I've done that. And Lord, give me the grace to just keep getting up every time I miss the mark. Keep getting up. Keep getting up. Keep getting up. Keep getting up. Help me, Jesus. I thank you. I thank you in advance. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. You know, I do believe He's walked into this room today. And He's speaking to your heart and my heart. And I'm going to tell you something. He'll never command us to do anything that He won't give us the power to do. You hear me? He will never command us to do anything He will not give us the grace and the power to do. Otherwise, He would be unjust. I just bless you in Jesus' name. Lord, we just pray right now that your peace would be upon your people. That, Lord, we declare courage and boldness like a lion, and, Lord, peace like a gentle dove, wisdom, Lord, like serpents, and harmlessness like doves. Lord, we just bless this people today with hearing ears and seeing eyes and responsive hearts Open the scriptures to your people this week. Speak clearly in our ear, Lord. Motivate our hearts to follow you. And ask the question, what would Jesus do? Help me do it, Lord. In his name we pray. Amen. 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 God bless you. God bless you. Let's go do it.